If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalm 20. We did wrap up with Psalm 19 last time, and we're moving on into Psalm 20. We're going to consider the whole psalm this evening. Psalm 20. Hear now the holy, the inspired, the inerrant, and infallible Word of God, written for you and for me today. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. Or your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, here now we do pray that your Spirit would speak to us through your word. O Lord, bless us as your people, enrich us, deepen and strengthen our faith. Show us the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ and encourage us in him, we pray. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, beloved, God calls his people to pray, even engaging in intercessory prayers for kings, rulers, and those in authority over us. This call has a good and godly purpose for us, doesn't it? We know the truth of this call, practice, and purpose as we study and apply the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, the first four verses. There we read, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, and why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." So, my friends, as we are blessed in our examination of Psalm 20 today, we see that King David wrote it pressing the message of assurance in God's salvation, assurance in God's saving work. And in particular, know that he wrote it not to give instruction for prayer to himself, but rather as he served in his prophetic office as well as king, he wrote it as a prayer for the faithful. He wrote it as a prayer for the people to use in praying to the Lord for him as he went to war, likely with the Ammonites and Syrians or some other enemies of Israel. Indeed, we find this likely battle with the Ammonites and the Syrians recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. You can turn with me there if you like. It's helpful background and helpful instruction for us as we consider Psalm 20. We read in verse 1, "It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. Then David said, 'I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me.' So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, "Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, spy it out, and to overthrow it?" Therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle, at their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, "Wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return." When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rahab and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Makkah, 1,000 men, and from Ish-Tob, 12,000 men. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah, Beth-Rahab, Ish-Tob, and Makkah were by themselves in the field. So again, I read this as this background for the war that David was now preparing to go into, and then the context that provides to his writing of Psalm 20. Let's look at the people's prayer for divine answer and strength in verses 1 through 3. Fulfilling and rejoicing in verses 4 through 6, and remembering and standing in verses 7 through 9. Look at verse 1 with me. How does it begin? "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." Now, see two things here. First, see how the people know their king as a godly, prayerful man. He prays every day in a variety of situations, especially in a time of war and danger, and therefore their prayer begins with praying that he would receive divine answers and grace-filled response to his petitions. May he be reminded that the Lord God is his God, the God who hears and answers his servants' cries in days of danger. He hears their cries in the days of danger and trouble. But also, secondly, these words are an admonishment to kings to do their duty in beseeching the Lord for his protection. "May the name of the God of Jacob defend you," they plea. You know, it's interesting that the petition is that the name of God would defend him. What does this mean? This is referring to God himself and all that he reveals himself to be. In Scripture, names often represent people. How do we know that this is true? For example, consider Acts 1:15. "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. Again, names often represent people. The name of God points us to himself, as we see in Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 58. "If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses." See the emphasis here. See the importance that God sets upon his name and how he puts this forth, right? "That you may fear this glorious and awesome name." Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So their prayer, the prayers of the people, was that the glorious, strong, and awesome name, that glorious, strong, and awesome God of his covenant people, that he would defend David. And note that in this defense, the Hebrew word carries the message of defending David in making him inaccessible to his enemies by setting him on high. That's what this word means. Indeed, making such a petition is a privilege of the children of God, as they are under the rule and protection of a king set over them by God himself. Remember that the Lord raises kings and he brings them down. He raises nations and he brings them to the ground. But here the Lord had raised up David. He was with David. And he was even with him as he went to war. And so they were to pray for their king. Beloved, we know well that the church is subject and very familiar with trouble, danger, assault, and battle. Since Christ, our King, being our eternal high priest, never ceases to make intercession with God, we as the church must remain united in prayer for divine answer and defense for us as we are at war, along with those in authority over us who are in the fray, especially those on the front lines who are leading the charge like David did, as well as those that God is using to strengthen our defense. We see the importance of prayer for such. But speaking of strengthening, consider the next petition in Psalm 20, verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Now, as strong as mighty kings and men of valor are, they can't gain the victory alone. They need help. And there is no better help and strength than that which is divine from above. Now, the sanctuary spoken of here could refer to the throne room in heaven or to the temple where the ark was. The temple towards which Israel directed their prayers and from which God heard in heaven and answered them may be the place in which they prayed towards. Solomon proclaims this very thing in his prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 44. When your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Speaking of the temple, the prayers for answers, protection, and strength of the king are then followed by what? A prayer for acceptance. Look at verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. See these petitions that are filling in this picture of a faithful servant of the Lord who is serving in office. A faithful king who, yes, David penned these words for the people to keep in prayer for him. He wasn't doing so proudly. He wasn't doing so arrogantly, but he knew not only what was true about God and what was true about him and what God had promised to do as his covenant Lord and what David knew as the one who he and his men were dependent upon in the battle, he knew what they needed. And he desired the Lord's favor and acceptance upon those things which he was doing faithfully in accordance with his word. This is remembering with acceptance. May God remember his servant David's faithfulness to obey in sacrifice and offering. This may be in reference to offerings that David offered as he left with his men for battle. know that this acceptance would be evident literally in the sacrifice being turned into ashes by fire from heaven. That's what the Hebrew communicates. Remember when Moses and Aaron came out of the tabernacle of meeting and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to the people. In Leviticus chapter 9, in verse 24, we read, "And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Beloved, David really here also points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he points us to Christ, we are mindful of the perfect obedience of the Son to his Father when he was in the midst of trouble. We're blessed to consider his obedience to the point of his self-sacrificial death on the cross. And we're also blessed in seeing the proof of God the Father's acceptance of Christ's sacrifice, and that being his glorious resurrection, his vindication. Indeed, the Father put his stamp of approval. It was satisfactory. He accepted it. Nothing else was required. Further, Matthew Henry helpfully comments, he says, "By this we may now know that God accepts our spiritual sacrifices. If by his Spirit he kindles in our souls a holy fire of pious and divine affection, and with that makes our hearts burn within us." In verse 4, he goes on to speak of fulfilling the purpose. He says, "May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose." This was their petition. Yes, David was a sinner, but he was also a man after God's own heart, we know in 1 Samuel 13:14. And therefore, the people prayed that God would bless him as he sought to glorify his Lord. They prayed that God would give David success in what the Lord sent him forth to do. And as Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 connect well with each other, and we'll see that next week, Lord willing, we'll consider more of how God granted such blessing as we see in Psalm 21, verse 2. "You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips," Selah. So here is the request. "May you give him his heart's desire and fulfill his purpose." And we see the Lord's answer in his work in the next psalm beautifully. And notice that word Selah at the end. That is to pause and ponder what was just said. Well, considering the saving grace of their Lord, then they go on to exclaim in verse 5, "We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions." Again, the prayer for the people, out of joy and happiness, rejoicing and the God of their salvation, and the God of David's salvation. And they indeed would set up their banners in his name, praying that he would again hear his prayers, fulfill his petitions. David's people were servants who would rejoice in God's preservation and prosperity of their king. They would rejoice at God's power and promise to save. We depend and have wonderful opportunities to greatly rejoice in such now, don't we, beloved? But further, the people promised to plant their flag for the crown and covenant of their sovereign Lord with great courage by his grace, that he is the conqueror and the one who has the victory. In other words, they would wage war in God's name and celebrate the victories in his name. They would seek to ensure their cause was good and make his glory their end in all that they did. It wasn't self-seeking. It wasn't for their glory in the victory. It was for the glory of God. The banner was set in the name of the Lord, not in the name of David. But there they would plant their flag in the name of their God and praise him the entire way. Remember David's words to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." See this message over and over again. The name of the Lord, the name that represents the living God and his power and his purposes and his presence with his people. This is the name that we stand in. This is the name that they were to stand in. This is the name that David stood in the field of battle. Here is the name that the people stand in. Even David in his younger years as a shepherd boy before Goliath, "I stand here in the name of the Lord. I will take your head." In verse 6 of Psalm 20, they go on to say, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." Beloved, there is great confidence and great assurance in the salvation that our God brings. Lift up your heads and your hearts, even as the people did in this prayer. They knew the salvation of their God. They knew, they had full confidence that the Lord saves his anointed. See, not only the words for David here in the people's prayers, but also this wonderful picture of these more facets that are painted of Christ. We see this verse after verse after verse. Notice that the words aren't, "I hope that the Lord saves his anointed." No, there is surety, "I know that the Lord saves his anointed." And indeed, temporarily, David would be victorious. Israel would win the battle because God was with them. They rightly trusted God in his promise to protect his people in war when they were obedient to his commands. And yet, as we considered in Psalm 16, God's preservation of his anointed King David points us to his love and work for David's greater son, his beloved son, Jesus Christ, whom God blessed, was with, answered, exalted, and now reigns forever on his throne as the victor, as the conqueror, as the eternal king. It is in the name of this king that we put our trust. And so he, in this prayer, rightly ends, speaking of remembering and standing in verse 7 through 9. Look at verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Again, we see the name of the Lord time and again in these different ways, in these different important pieces. "We will remember the name of the Lord our God," here they say. "They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright." In wartime, my friends, many trust in the weapons and vehicles of war. And yet God's people through the ages are called to remember and trust. We acknowledge and we intentionally think about the glorious, strong, and awesome name of our Almighty Covenant Lord, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he must and will win the battle. Indeed, like Israel's deliverance in battle, Our rescue from sin and death and the devil is grounded in Christ and his trustworthiness. Notice David said that they have bowed down and fallen, but God's people have risen and stand upright. The Lord Jesus Christ in his great redemptive work has picked us up out of the pit, out of the grave. And he has given us new life in him, and he has caused us to stand. Indeed, we are referred to in the scriptures often, even in the Psalms, as those who are the upright. And we are called as God's people to stand in the face of battle and the face of the enemy. We stand in the person and power of the risen Lord Jesus, who causes us to stand fully armored in the fight, and we're praising him for the victory that is ours in him. And considering these petitions, the prayer closes with a wonderful statement, a wonderful cry. Verse 9, "Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call." Notice the bookends of this psalm. It begins with the prayer for David, "May the Lord answer you." And here, "May the King answer us." Here are the prayers of the people for David. "May the Lord hear his servant in the field of battle and all that you bring to his throne of grace." And here, the prayers of the people. "Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call." And notice the petition is not just to hear us, but to answer us. "Hear our petitions and answer our prayers, O Lord, according to your mercies and your most holy will." Beloved, this is the final plea that is in line with the consistent message of the psalm. O Lord, save and bless the King. In your mercy, hear and answer our prayer. And so as we consider this psalm, I want you to consider this. Warfare is a huge part of the Christian life. As a child of God, you are called to fight the battles of the Lord. You are called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6. And therefore, knowing this, make use, and even better, use the means that God has given you. Make better use of prayer and faith and trust in the Lord's word and in the Lord himself. As David has taught us in this psalm, don't neglect prayer for your daily bread and all the other purposes that God has ordained. And especially pray for magistrates, pray for leaders who press on and take the charge in the battle. But also, be blessed and enriched in your faith by the clear Christological focus of this psalm on the person and work of Christ. For Israel's troubles and victories foreshadowed Christ. Jesus knew his day of trouble. He prayed that his Father would grant him strength. He offered himself, his righteous life, and sacrificial death to God for you and for me. And further, the Father fulfilled all of Jesus' holy desires. And what is true now? You rejoice in Christ's victory, trusting in his character, in his work, and in his promises for you. We do all of this marching forward as his church against the gates of hell. Indeed, we have our banner planted. Our flag is set in the name of the Lord our God. And we will not back down, but we will press forward for the crown and covenant of Christ. Indeed, may your prayer and mine be, "Save, Lord. May King Jesus answer us when we call." Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for the wonderful work that you are doing, not only for your church, but showing us, Lord, in that work, showing us the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the pages of Scripture, we see Christ on display. We see him pointed to, our attention drawn to and focused upon, our rejoicing because of these glorious truths. O Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to have such trust. Help us to have such petition. We stand in your name. We walk according to your grace and for your kingdom purposes. Bless us, O Lord, and answer us when we call. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.